May it please the court, my name is Raymond Clausen. I represent Edith Milestone in this Section 1983 case, which arises from her banishment from a municipal senior center on the basis of an accusation that she violated a code of conduct requiring visitors to treat senior center staff in a respectful manner. That's a quote from the code of conduct, in a respectful manner. The code was produced by the Senior Center Board, which is a municipal common council committee. It was produced 2.5 years before Mrs. Milestone's ejection. It was
a slight correction. It's not a committee of the common council, the governing board of the city. It's a separate board.
The board is classified as a committee of the council, and a council member is always a member of the board.
But it's not a committee of the council. It's created by the council.
That is true, Your Honor.
But it's not like the board's finance committee or something like that, which consists of all board members, I take it?
You are correct. It has only one board member on it, and the other members
one are, council member?
Excuse me.
The
board has one council member. Correct.
So it's not a subset of the common council, is my point. A committee of the common council. It's created by the common council.
I agree, Your Honor. That's true. The city of Monroe uses that terminology, but it is a separate board.
Right. I mean, this is not a frivolous inquiry. It really relates to the heart of the issue here, which I presume you're about to get to.
Right. Right. So I want to start with one fact, which is that the board produced the code of conduct. The code of conduct was duplicated, framed, affixed to the walls of this municipal building, and mailed out at least twice in a newsletter during this 2.5 year period to about 1,700 senior citizens. The parties, the procedural status of the case is that the parties both moved for summary judgment, and the magistrate granted summary judgment to the city on a Monell analysis. This appeal followed. Of course, the standard of review is de novo. The first, and given the posture of the case, the most significant issue is the Monell issue. And the question more specifically is whether the Senior Center Board, which produced and enforced the code of conduct, qualifies as a final policymaker when it comes to producing rules of this sort and enforcing rules of this sort. Our position is that there has been a delegation of authority from the Common Council to the Senior Center Board for these purposes. The ordinance that created and empowered the Senior Center Board explicitly delegated to the board the power to adopt rules and regulations for the governance of the Senior Center and to enforce them, and that was an unqualified delegation. The same ordinance gives the Senior Center Board the power to purchase and sell real estate. But in that instance, unlike the instance of rulemaking authority, if the board decides it wants to buy or to sell, it can do that, but only subject to common council approval. The defense has invoked Chapter 68 in support of its position in this case. There is another way of looking at Chapter 68, which is that Chapter 68, like the ordinance that created the board, is a mechanism for the delegation of authority. Chapter 68 is a set of administrative rules the state imposes on municipalities, but municipalities may, if they choose, opt out. Monroe chose not to opt out. Chapter 68 empowers the Senior Center Board, after it conducts a hearing, as it did in this case, to issue what's called a final determination. That final determination is appealable directly to the state circuit court. Whether the city of Monroe permits any further administrative appeal or not, the city is the city council, under those circumstances, is then left out of the process. It's left out of the loop. It's given its senior center board the power to conduct a hearing under Chapter 68, to produce a final determination under Chapter 68, and to have that final determination appealed not to the city council, but to the circuit court, which has a remand power under Chapter 68. And Chapter 68 provides that the state court, the circuit court, can remand to the decision maker, which in our case, again, would not be the Common Council. It would be the Senior Center Board.
Well, decision of the board only becomes the final decision for purposes of judicial review, certiorari to the circuit court under Wisconsin law, and Chapter 68 only if there is no appeal taken to the Common Council, which is the governing body of the municipality. It seems to me that the board's decision is the initial determination under Chapter 68. The initial determination was actually the on-the-spot decision by the director of the senior center, but that decision has to be taken to the board for ratification, essentially, because she doesn't have unilateral authority to impose it, as I understand it. And then the appeal, the administrative appeal process, calls for an appeal from the board to the Common Council.
In this case, there's an initial determination on the spot by Tammy Derrickson, the Senior Center Director. There's an appeal to the Senior Center Board, which conducts...
Well, that's referred to in the statutory scheme as a review.
Yes. And
the administrative appeal for purposes of Chapter 68 is to the Common Council.
Well, Judge, I'd bring your attention specifically to 68.10, paragraph 1B, which states that if the person aggrieved, which of course would be Mrs. Milestone in this case, has had a hearing that substantially complies with 68.11, and that did happen. She got a chance to be heard. She was represented. Witnesses were examined and cross-examined. Other evidence was presented. That is a 68.11 hearing. And what 68.10.1b provides is that after such a hearing, the person aggrieved may directly seek review under 68.13, which is judicial review. And this is an administrative arrangement to which the city of Monroe, through its Common Council, submitted itself by not opting out of Chapter 68.
You're leaving out part of that statute, though, which says that there isn't a further appeal if the person aggrieved had a due process hearing or a hearing that complies with due process unless granted by the municipal authority. And here the municipal authority did grant an internal administrative appeal to the Common Council. She just didn't take advantage of it. This is in subsection B, 6810.
Yes, and it says such a person may seek review under 6813.
Right. If the municipality hasn't established a procedure of administrative review to a higher administrative or higher municipal body, which in this case, the municipality did.
Okay, well, I would...
And then the certiorari to the circuit court, the judicial review, comes from the administrative appeal to the Common Council.
I respectfully disagree with your reading of the statute, Judge. It does state that if a 6811 hearing has been conducted by a municipal authority, then appeal may go directly to the state court.
Does that require some acquiescence or passiveness of the Common Council?
The Common Council has nothing to say about this.
You can bypass them without any intervention by the Common Council.
That's my point, Your Honor. In other words, the Common Council chose to submit itself to the terms of Chapter 68, which permits under these circumstances that the Common Council simply be left out of the loop. And that's consistent with the sort of delegation of authority that the Common Council years ago granted to the Senior Center Board when it created the Senior Center Board, and it gave the Senior Center Board rulemaking and enforcing authority without any additional Common Council review.
Mr. Clausen, could I ask you a question about the merits of your First Amendment claim if we reach that? My impression is that you're arguing that as a matter of constitutional law, the Senior Center is required to tolerate any conduct that would be tolerated on the streets and sidewalks of the city, and that it cannot impose rules of decorum. Is that right?
That is correct, Your Honor. At page 20...
Now, let me ask you, in many contexts, not only in courtrooms, but also, for example, in city-county meetings or town halls or in the halls of Congress, which we think of as places where very free speech is allowed, there have been for literally centuries rules of decorum about how members of the governmental body or members of the public addressing the body may conduct themselves. Are those rules unconstitutional?
No, they're not, but those are not using the what I think of as rather peculiar jargon that's applied to these cases. This is not a public forum, and this is not a designated public forum for the purposes of First Amendment analysis, and the speech that's allowed in forums such as courtrooms and the other venues that you've listed is necessarily constricted because this is a forum and those other places are forums where government business takes place. And my speech to you can't include properly disquisitions about art and literature that have nothing to do with the issues.
Well, that's not really the point, though. The question is whether it's permissible to impose restrictions on behavior. If I understand your position correctly, for example, Mrs. Milestone and others who attend the Senior Center would be free to say anything they want in the Senior Center if it would be constitutionally protected on the streets and sidewalks.
That is correct.
Now, in Indiana, at least, it has been held that under at least state constitutional free speech restrictions, it is permissible for citizens dealing with police officers to curse them in the most vile terms. Does Mrs. Milestone have a free speech right, in your view, to curse the other people who attend the Senior Center and those who manage it?
In a public forum or the equivalent designated public forum, I think she does. She didn't, of course, in fact, do any such thing.
So if the city sets up a Senior Center like this, it has to tolerate behavior that would make the and speech, that is, that would make attendance essentially intolerably unpleasant for all of the other people who are coming?
Well, it wouldn't make it unpleasant.
They would have to tolerate
that kind of
speech.
They would
the
have
most
to,
vile cursing we can imagine.
Well, I disagree with that, Your Honor. The city of Monroe does have a disorderly conduct statute that it can invoke and enforce under appropriate circumstances. The speech,
that applies to just cursing somebody?
It can. It can. It depends on the circumstances.
What would make it permissible to punish somebody for cursing, for example?
Well, if it tends to trigger a violent response in Wisconsin, that's considered behavior.
So just fighting words?
Fighting words are their equivalent, yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kunta.
May it please the Court. I'm here today. My name is Greg Gunta, and I'm representing not the board of the Monroe City Center, and I'm not representing Tammy Dickerson, the individual who imposed the very first discipline and ban upon the plaintiff in this action.
She hasn't been sued.
No, she has not, and I'm pointing out that I'm not representing them. I'm representing the city of Monroe, and I bring that to your attention, which it's, I'm stating the obvious, is because of the fact that in this particular case, as the district court stated, the plaintiff has completely and totally failed to identify a policy of the city of Monroe that was violated as a result of the activities of the Monroe senior board in its banning of
she doesn't have to show a violation of city policy. She
no,
has
she
to show that she was harmed by application of a city policy.
That's correct.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Okay.
That's correct. There was absolutely no adoption by the city of Monroe of any of these codes of conduct that took place within the Monroe Senior Center. I would like to point that out.
Why isn't the delegation of authority to adopt rules and regulations sufficient for those rules and regulations to be treated as city policy? I'm distinguishing between the decision to remove Mrs. Milestone from the facility. We also have what looks like a facial challenge to the policy.
All right. Let me look at it from that perspective.
Okay.
If it's considered to be a delegation of authority by the Common Council of the City of Monroe to the Monroe Senior Center Board, and the process allows for that board to adopt these rules and regulations and even provides for an appeal of their decisions to the Common Council of the City of Monroe as it does, then I do believe that they are, in essence, adopting the policy. The municipality has to have a direct relationship to the policy, even if it's through the Monroe Board, if they are going to hear appeals from that board. And they do hear appeals from that board. And so,
are there a lot of cases like this?
No, there are not a lot of cases like this. I represent approximately 40 cities, and this is the first case I have of a senior citizen actually being removed from a senior center. And the most disconcerting part of this case is that the senior center lets people over the age of 55 in, and I'm now over the age of 55, and it was most disturbing. But I would like to point out to the court that I agree with the court's initial analysis of Chapter 68. I absolutely 100% agree that Chapter 68, specifically 6809B, allows for the City of Monroe to hear the appeals of their Senior Citizens Board.
So I think I'm hearing a statement from you that the Code of Conduct is city policy. It's just that the application of it to this case is not. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that the code of the Senior Citizens Board, if it goes to the appeal level at the Common Council, that it is that at that point in time, yes, it is, in fact, a policy.
So the code, the claim against the code, the facial challenge to the code,
yes,
is cognizable against the city, and the district court's decision needs to be reversed.
No.
But not the application of it in this case?
No, I don't want that misunderstanding. I think that if, in fact, the city of Monroe had been given the opportunity to hear the appeal and had adopted that policy as the policy of the Common Council and of the City of Monroe, and had rendered a decision that could be appealed to the Circuit Court, I believe that at that point in time, the city clearly would have adopted the policy as its own in the not only in the application, but in the adoption of the code itself.
Mr. Gunta?
Yes.
Let me shift gears here, because I'm a little concerned about the scope of this argument.
Yes.
Sounds like you do a lot of work with local governments.
I do.
Let's suppose a city police department adopted an unconstitutional shoot-to-kill policy.
Yes.
For fleeing suspects.
Yes.
If that wasn't adopted by the city council but was just adopted by the chief of police, are you saying that would... would not be a city policy for Monell purposes?
That would be a city policy created by a policymaker, yes.
Okay.
And it would, for purposes of Monell, obviously, be the policy of the city.
Okay.
And in this case, much like that, if the Monroe Senior Center adopted these codes of conduct, and they were adopted by the board with the delegation of authority from the city of Monroe, they then, in effect, would be, for Monell purposes, the policy.
And that's what happened for purposes of this treat people respectfully policy,
yes, sir.
Right? Okay.
Yes, sir.
So that gets you then into what, time, place, and manner discussion?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It pretty much does. And I think that this whole... the whole issue before the district court would have been resolved rather quickly if one thing would have happened. If the plaintiff in this case would have exercised her rights under Chapter 68, gone to the council, and if the council would have somehow rendered an opinion adverse to her, in other words, keeping her banned from the center, she would have had the absolute ability and authority under Chapter 68 to go to judicial review. And if you would have stayed in that process within the state of Wisconsin's statutory framework, I believe that we would have had a resolution of this matter without having to go to federal court.
In that kind of situation, I'm new here. I think I can still say that. In terms of dealing with Wisconsin cases, if she had gone to city council and then to state court, would she be free to raise the 1983 claims that she raised there in state court?
Yeah. In state court, I don't believe so. She could have. Are you talking
concurrent
about
jurisdiction? So.
Are you talking about directly in the appeal process to the circuit court?
Yes.
I don't believe so. I believe that
she'd
that
be
would be a separate
record.
Cause of action. Am I wrong, Your Honor? She would have been able to raise Section 1983 claims on review.
It wouldn't be styled as a Section 1983 claim on certiorari review, but constitutional arguments can be made in the context of a certiorari proceeding. The scope, as you know, of those proceedings is limited to what's in the record.
Oh, and I don't disagree with you on that at all, but to have
Thank
a 42
you.
U.S. my response was that you cannot go in there with a 42 U.S.C. Section 1983
That's
claim.
True. That's
yes.
true.
And
you
new
can't
evidence.
Join it. Right.
And new evidence okay. or the like, yes.
Okay.
I think that...
Could I ask this one thing? You said about if the council had the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
And the question I have for Rousier is, should it have had the opportunity, if you put it that way? Was it necessary to go through the Common Council as opposed to directly up? I thought that was the question we were really dealing with here.
I think that the Common Council, under Chapter 68, they've given the opportunity to go before them.
I don't understand. Given the opportunity, is it?
Well, they're allowing me. I'm sorry.
Is it an obligation that that's the next step?
I believe so. I believe you have an obligation to do that. You know, I've been discussing this at length with my partner, and it appears to me that Chapter 68 does set forth a framework. And if you analyze that framework, that the initial determination then can be appealed. And then you can, the
to
city...
The Common Council?
I'm sorry.
Initial determination by the board?
By the board.
And then can be appealed to where?
The Common Council of the city. And that was offered to the plaintiff in this case. It was not taken advantage of. The plaintiff in this case could have gone on appeal to the entire Common Council.
If they say they don't have to.
I agree that they say they don't have to.
But you say they have to.
I say they should
have. If
they
want to go on, and if they want to appeal it, they have to go to the Common Council.
If they want to stay within the framework of Chapter 68, yes. And then they could appeal for judicial review after that Common Council hearing. I agree with the language that was originally discussed in 6810B by the court, where the language that specifically was left out in the commentary initially by counsel, and that is, but it is not entitled to appeal under this section unless granted by the municipal authority. I believe that that language that is specifically in the statute indicates that an appeal to the Common Council, if they have not opted out of this statute, is provided. Does that answer your question?
Well, it is to some extent. Is that the end of the line? Is that what 68 means? You can't do anything else?
Or no, I believe it's not the end of the line.
What does it mean the council has the right to reject it? We don't want to hear it. Go somewhere else?
I think if they do something like that, which I doubt that they would actually do, but if they did say something like that, then it could be 6813 allows for judicial review of the decision.
But it has to be the council rejected it or said they didn't want to hear it.
I don't believe that the council rejected it. I think that is the only way you could get there. I think if they actually did hear the appeal and listened to the appeal and decided that, you know, this lady does have anger problems, she is disruptive, we're agreeing with the senior center board, I believe that she then could seek judicial review if they ruled against her.
Where does the authority to impose a lifetime banishment with permission to reacquire the right to be at the senior center provided an anger management class is successfully completed? Where does that authority come from?
I think the authority is inherent in the operation of that type of a center, Your Honor. I know the history of forums. I know the history of the Roman Forum and Gracchus before the forum saying whatever he wanted to. This is not that type of place. This is a place that people 55 years of age and older go essentially to play cards and to communicate with each other about themselves and their lives. And I've had the opportunity to go and watch a day there, which was very nice and peaceful. To have someone in a position where over the years they have constantly been disruptive and constantly been angry and constantly been attacking verbally people they're playing cards with, I think they do have the authority to say, you know, until you do something to take care of this problem, you can't come back here, because this is not a wide open forum of the type we have in parks and evidently in Indiana if you're dealing with police officers.
Well, even judicially issued restraining orders expire at a certain point. They can't be imposed perpetually. And the threshold for getting one of those is a lot higher than this sort of disrespect standard.
Well, Your Honor, I think you have to look that this really wasn't a question of disrespect. It was disruptive, angry behavior. And I guess if someone is going to be disruptive and angry their whole life to the occupant, to the people who come to the center, well, then maybe there is the right to ban them until they prove and come back and say, you know, I've corrected the problem. I'm going to get along with the other people I'm playing cards with. I'm not going to tear up dollar bills that are given to me for awards and yell and scream. I know it seems harsh, doesn't it? It is harsh, probably. But we're looking at the better of the whole rather than this one individual. And if this were a wide open public forum, I would have no problem with saying, you're doggone right, they can't stop her from saying what she wants and they can't ban her. But if she's going to come back unrepentant over and over again and challenge the scope of the code by being angry and disruptive, I think they have a right to do that. Now, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea if I went back and said, you know, you should have a review process to see if within 3 months someone of this age hasn't corrected their behavior. That might not be a bad idea. I don't disagree with you on that. But I'm not making those decisions. Are there any other questions?
Got to ask why the city council resolution refers to Monroe as the cheese city.
Yes.
I would think there's quite a struggle in Wisconsin for that title.
Your Honor,
can you educate me?
Your Honor, I represent a lot of cities, and I went to Indiana University, and I came from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I can only tell you that cheese is the thing in Wisconsin. It's the only thing.
I know, but what's special about Monroe?
Well, it's good.
Okay.
It's good cheese. Really good cheese.
Very good cheese. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. How much time? Mr. Claussen, your time had expired. I'll give you a minute in rebuttal.
In order to bring a Section 1983 claim, there isn't, in a situation of this sort, the requirement that the plaintiff exhaust administrative remedies. The whole discussion of the ordinance and then Chapter 68 is part of a determination on the issue of whether the code of conduct represents a creation of a final policy maker. That's what that's about. There is a strong dispute on the factual history here, and I definitely disagree with some of the representations that defense counsel has made. And then finally, I would point out that whatever the factual history is, Mrs. Milestone is entitled to be judged by a standard that meets constitutional requirements. At page 29 of its brief, the defense has conceded, in effect, that the senior center in Monroe constitutes a designated public forum, which means that strict scrutiny applies to the code of conduct, a code of conduct that requires in a public place that visitors to that place pay respect, treat the staff in a respectful manner, does not meet First Amendment standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.